We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Welcome back to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A big week in store as we head to postseason play for the women's basketball team. They're at the Pac-12 tournament this week. We will hear a little bit later on from Penina Davidson in her senior year. And a little bit later on in segment number three, Tony Sandoval, the director of track and field for the Bears at California. But joining us to tip things off literally and figuratively will be Kingsley Okoro, senior from Derby, England. And I want to talk, first of all, about blocked shots, because you've entered the all-time list in Pac-12 conference play of blocked shots, passing some phenomenal players along the way. You're closing in on number nine, Sam Clancy, the former USC star. What, in your mind, does it take to be a good shot blocker?
Just having time, really. You honestly don't have to be that athletic, I don't think, anyway. You just have to have like great timing and great awareness of when a player is beaten and when you can come in and just time it correctly to where we can just go on fast breaks. But yeah, I think timing is the biggest key.
Do you seem to feel that you're best at blocking shots when you're defending the man that you're supposed to be guarding, or when you're the secondary guy come over to and helping on somebody else's guy?
Honestly, I think I'm elite at both of them. I can recognize. I think it's easier to block when you're off the ball. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's times when I just bait my man into taking a shot, and then knowing I can recover and get in it. So any style and any time you want it, I can do it.
Well, you're approaching 200 in your career, and there's only been a couple of guys in the history of this conference since they've been keeping track of blocked shots that have reached that level. So congratulations. That's unbelievable.
Thank you.
Go back to senior day last week. What was that like for you?
It was a surreal moment. It was a shame we didn't win, but just having your family there who they've never seen me play a college game. Mm-hmm. Having all of them out there, and I know they're all busy with their lives. So it was a really nice moment having them all come and watch me play.
I think it was your mom out there had a pretty nice outfit out there. I like that. She's very colorful.
It was nice. It was nice. Yeah, she did surprise me, but I liked it. I liked her.
I liked it, too. I thought it was terrific. I really enjoyed it because you don't – I mean, you know, different cultures. At Cal, we get to see it, but for her to display that and be proud of doing it, I thought that was really neat on her behalf. All right, you got coming down the home stretch here. It goes pretty quick when you first – you know, you were Konzo Martin's first recruited Cal.
Yeah.
It goes quicker than you think. Just your thoughts as you look back at your career at California. What have been the highlights for you?
I think definitely making the tournament my sophomore year. That was a big highlight. Going unbeaten at home. Mm-hmm. That was also big. I just all the players along the way that's helped me from David my freshman year. And then you've got Ivan for the previous 2 years, and obviously Jalen, and then Tyrone, just all the players, just having great chemistry. Jabari.
Yeah.
Jabari's like a really good friend for my 3 years playing with him. So yeah, it's just good to just building relationships with teammates that's gonna last a lifetime.
You mentioned four guys that have been in the NBA this year. Jabari, yeah. Tyrone Wallace, we saw him at Cal when the Warriors played the Clippers. He came up for a day.
He visited me, too.
Did he really? Yeah. Good for him. Yeah. I got to see him in the club room and talk to him for a little while. He was so excited.
Yeah.
I actually said his home in L.A., when he's playing for the Clippers, is the same hotel we stayed in. I saw him on the elevator the weekend that we were down there.
Wow.
I opened the door to go down, and he's coming on with food, because that's where he lives.
Yeah.
So that shocked me more than anything else. And you mentioned, you know, Jalen's having a terrific 2 years in the NBA, and now Ivan's getting – do you get a chance to watch those guys much or keep tabs on them on a daily basis, look at the box scores in the papers?
Just the box scores, really. So it's hard to watch them. I talk to Bird quite often, so I'm always seeing what he's doing with the G League. I think he's been injured recently.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he was doing really good. And then, like I said, Ty came and visited me, just telling me how his life is now. So that was cool. But we just wishing them all the best, and hopefully I can join them one day.
Yeah. I was going to say, is professional basketball something you like to really give a shot?
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of opportunities. Obviously, the NBA, the G League, Europe, I mean, around the world. So great opportunities for you. Talk about just this year and how it's gone. This has been unlike any year that you've ever been around.
It's different, especially when you're losing. And obviously, for the previous 3 years, we haven't been losing; we've been winning. So mm-hmm. it was a different shock. I think having a lot of freshmen, they're just getting adjusted to it, and I think they're adjusted now. It just came too late. But it was different. It was still fun for me having a new role, but obviously you like to be winning games, and we haven't been this year. But I still enjoy this season, and hopefully we can finish out strong.
You know, we're doing this interview actually the day before the Bears play Arizona State. A little ironic, you conclude the regular season of your career in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
You played some high school basketball here in Phoenix, right?
I did. I played at West Wind Prep for a year. I actually enjoy Arizona a lot. I don't mind the weather. people say it can get too hot here, but I don't mind. I don't mind the weather at all. I've played at ASU a couple of times now, and I think I don't know if the assistant was still there. He was recruiting me, but I do enjoy it in Arizona a lot.
Also, you spent a little time at Finley Prep.
I did.
I mean, that's a. You know, they're on the map as one of the top prep schools in the country. What was that like?
It was actually my first time playing in America. I came over when I was 16, and I honestly think if it wasn't for that school, I wouldn't be here today, because it just put me like in a mindset where like I need to get better. I thought like in England and in Europe, I was always dominating, and then when I came there at 16, I just thought, wow, like I hardly ever played. I was behind a lot of great players who have gone on to do good things, like Nigel Williams-Gus, who's at Gonzaga and Washington. Anthony Bennett, Winston Shepherd, Dominic Artist, Gavin Schilling, Chris Wood, like the list goes on. Yeah. But I just think seeing like the level they were at and knowing that they're around the same age as me, I just had a lot to prove. And I think Coach Peck and Coach Johnson, Coach Simon, all the coaches there, they just gave me like a platform where I need to get better. I need to work on certain things, and I think it molded me into the player I am today. So I'm really happy. Even though I didn't play, you learn so much. You learn so much just sitting on the sideline and watching players. So yeah, even the list goes on. Brandon Ashley, who played at Arizona. Yeah, so yeah, I actually talked to Brandon not too long ago, but. It's good just to see how where all those players are now, and I just know, and they're your friends for life too.
Yeah, I'm not Brandon. I'll have fond memories of Cal because he broke his foot against the Bears a couple of years ago. Other than the basketball, and that's what everybody sees. That's how the public evaluates you know players and so forth. But other than that, away from basketball, what are the things that you're going to most remember about your 4 years at California?
I really enjoy my majors. Mm. Some of the classes I may not have taken before, I really enjoy them a lot. I took a class on the welfare of states of different countries around the world, and it was just interesting comparing and contrasting how the UK is different from the US, which is different from Germany. And I think I learned a lot here in my 4 years. I'm double majoring in legal studies and political science. So I just think just the classes I've taken that has informed me about the world, just coming to another country and learning about like their cultures. It's been really fun. It's been really fun. And I'm also looking forward to see what the future holds too.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's that time in your career where the you do start to look ahead, and there's so much ahead of you. Now, we talked to Derek King last week, and I asked him what his favorite class was. He said he took a magic class.
He did.
Is he somebody that tries to show you guys magic tricks on the team bus and stuff like that?
No, there was one time, actually, because he's my housemate. And we had an audience at the house one time, and there was one time he was showing us a magic trick, but me I'm, and another friend were heckling him, just making fun of him, because I didn't think it was very good, but he might have a different view of that. But no, he's okay. He's learned a thing or two, but he still needs to get better.
Hey, that's one of the beauties of Cal, is that you grew up in England, you come to Cal. You meet another player who spent time in China. You become teammates, housemates. And to me, that's what makes Cal so special, is those kinds of relationships.
I agree. It's different. It's a very diverse place. I've met people from all over the world, from the Middle East to, obviously, we have Grant from Australia. Mm-hmm. And it's just good. Just good to see how everyone is, how lifestyles are different. And I want we all unite in something that we love in basketball. I just think it creates a special bond.
No question about it. That's one of the beauties of team sports, is the bond that you, and those are the things that you miss when you're out of basketball. So hopefully you made some lifelong friends. All right, big fella, hopefully you get a bunch of blocks this weekend against the Arizona schools and next week in the Pac-12 tournament. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Kingsley Okorah, the senior from Derby, England, recently passed a former Arizona State star, Mario Bennett, on the Pac-12's all-time list to move into number 10, trying to clip off a few more here before his career comes to an end. All right, when we come back, we'll talk women's hoops with Panita Davidson as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics.
The women's basketball team in Seattle this week for the Pac-12 tournament, and joining us now is Panita Davidson, senior for the team that is playing well right now and will have a rematch in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament with their last regular season opponent, the Washington Huskies, also in Seattle. A little strange to have back-to-back trips, I assume, for you and the team to go to Seattle back-to-back weekends, isn't it?
It's just the way conference goes and the way the season goes, it's actually kind of cool because it means we just play them and get a chance to redo some things.
Well, in that game, you know, last weekend, you guys got off to a terrific start. I thought that was the key. Anytime you're on the road against a team that you feel like you should be, you jumped all over them from the very beginning. Just tell us what the mindset of the team was last weekend, going on the road for the final two regular season games, knowing that you had a chance to, you know, move up in the conference standings if you were able to get two wins.
It was definitely more of a just carry off where we left off when we played Stanford. It felt really good, the Stanford game, so it was like, you know what, let's just try and pick up where we left off and just keep this role going, keep going hard and keep doing what we're capable of. One of our assistant coaches put it in a good way. She said, well, now you have all set a standard and we're going to hold you to that standard. And that's pretty much been the mentality since that senior night game.
Hey, tell us what it was like, because it was senior night. That's also always an emotional time. And for you and everybody else on that basketball team to beat Stanford at Haas Pavilion for the first time in your careers, how much did that mean to you and the team?
Me and Asia Thomas at the after the game, so actually the next day, we were just talking about we could make a book out of all the photos and all the memories on that night alone. That night alone was just crazy, and we were just comparing photos that we had and just talking about all the little details and memories that we're going to be remembering for a very long time. That game was crazy. It was definitely one of my personal favorite games.
Is there any one thing about that you're going to remember the most?
There's a lot of things. I mean, just before the game, the team put on a really, really nice little thing for me and Michaela, even hearing the anthem, my anthem, just before the game. That was surreal in itself. My parents being there, that was one of my favorite Haas Pavilion crowds I can remember to date since I've been at Cal. Just knowing that we finally played the way we had wanted to for a long time against a ranked team. There was just so many different aspects of the game that was just memorable.
How many opportunities have your parents had to watch you play in college?
I've been really fortunate that they've managed to come out quite a few times. So I've been really lucky in that aspect.
That's awesome. And that win over Stanford, obviously, being a top 25 team, in essence, it probably cost Stanford a chance to tie for the conference championship. But it was a win you needed to have to not only build momentum, but to put on the resume for the NCAA tournament as well. So that game had a lot of significance to it. And now you're into postseason play. First of all, it's the Pac-12 tournament, and then it's going to be the NCAA tournament. I think everybody would agree that the Bears are going to be in the NCAA tournament again. You were in it last year as well, so you've got a little experience. As a senior, tell us about your role as a leader, and now that you're back in the postseason play, and how you can help some of the younger players understand how important these games are going down the stretch.
I mean, this is the most exciting/stressful time of the year for the team, because this is where seasons die. They finish after, you know, that's kind of like the do-or-die mentality right now. We no longer can wait till the next weekend. You got to show up at the current game or you might not have another game. And I think just kind of reiterating that your season could be done after one game is kind of the messaging you want to tell the freshmen, you know, that this is it. Otherwise, you're just going to have to wait till next year to do it all over again.
And as a senior, I mean, you're talking about maybe you're playing your last games in a Cal uniform as well. So at the seniors, it really hits home. When you're a young player, a freshman or a sophomore, well, there's always next year or 2 years down the road. But when you're a senior and you're thinking, I may not be able to put this jersey on again, it really hits home, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've kind of felt like that for a while, you know, especially even back in the Mountain Games, I was like, these are one of my last few times playing in front of a Haas Pavilion crowd. Like, everything just kind of has a little bit more weight on it. Going back to the Mountain Games and the Stanford Games, it was like, this is the last time I'm going to be playing in front of a crowd. And then now it's just like, this is the last Pac-12 conference. You just kind of got to leave it all out there. Make sure you have nothing I wish I did.
Exactly. Well, hopefully you have a long stretch run here in the postseason play. Talk about, in your case, for the folks that aren't aware, you're from Auckland, New Zealand, and what's in line for you at the end of this year? You get the degree, and then you move on. You want to continue to play basketball?
Yeah, I definitely want to try and keep playing basketball for as long as my body will allow me, or as long as possible. Basketball is an amazing ticket across the world, and I kind of want to just see how that goes.
Yeah, you've had international experience, obviously, as a member of the New Zealand national team, so you've had a little bit of taste of that, and I'm sure you'd love to continue doing that as well. Now, for those of us that have never been to and would like to go to Auckland or just the country of New Zealand, be a travel guide for us here a little bit. Give us some sights and some things that we should expect to see when we go to New Zealand.
Well, I think the first thing I usually tell people is, of all the countries I've been to, and I've been across Europe, Asia, and America, New Zealand has the most beautiful, kind of untouched natural views. And that can just be something as simple as when you're driving from one city to another, you get to see all the mountains and the snow slopes and the waterfalls. There's a lot of beautiful beaches. The house I grew up in, I was about 2 minutes away from a beach, and my house actually cut through a waterfall because the beach was so close. It's just, the whole place is just full of real beautiful, very nature-y type, views.
You know, around the world, in the sporting world, the sport that's best known from New Zealand would be, the Blacks, right? The rugby football, I guess, we would call football here, American football, different than and football that you have over there. Is that as big a deal as everybody says it is?
Oh yeah, we have an amazing football team. Rugby team. We have an amazing rugby team, that's for sure. And it's huge in New Zealand.
It's interesting because a year ago, actually 2 years ago now, our football team went to Australia, played in Sydney against Hawaii, and you flip on the TV, and it's either Australian rules football or it's rugby. And one of the matches that was on was actually the national game between Australia and New Zealand. And even just watching on TV, you got the sense of how important it was to both countries. New Zealand has dominated that rivalry over the years. But it's just fascinating to get an appreciation of another sport in another country and how important it is to them. So something that we've all kind of learned to appreciate about New Zealand. And I've heard nothing but great things as far as the beauty. Now, is there a rivalry in New Zealand between, like, the North and the South?
No, there's actually a rivalry between New Zealand and Australia.
Okay. Yeah,
that's the big... I mean, the girls in the team and the staff, we were all lucky enough to go and actually watch an Australia versus New Zealand rugby game when we went to New Zealand.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's pretty amazing stuff and fun to watch for sure. Hey, Nina, appreciate it. I know you got to go to film and get ready for the game against Washington. We appreciate you taking the time. Congratulations on your career, and we wish you nothing but the best going forward, not only basketball wise, but other things as well. So good luck.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You betcha. Nina Davidson joining us now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. When we come back, we'll talk men's and women's track and field with head coach Tony Sandoval as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics.
A pleasure now to be joined by the director of track and field at Cal. For a long time, Tony's been here, back in the early 80s, if I remember correctly. So
that's pretty good.
You and I have both been around this league for a long time.
82. The year I came, was the play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were here for the play, so you were the good luck then.
No, actually, we were flying to the cross-country nationals. But I heard about the play.
Okay, you heard it, and you've seen it a million times, too, as we all have. Tony Sandoval, and good things to talk about. Your team just got done with the conference championship indoor in Seattle. That's always a big meet, and you had a couple of individual champions as well. Why don't we start, first of all, on the men's side? Obviously, a lot of people that follow football are familiar with Ashton Davis. Mm-hmm. Won a Pac-12 championship in the short hurdles last year. And he came back this year and won the indoor 60-meter hurdles.
Yes,
and He's a guy in football that I think he led the country in number of returns this year and was outstanding as a safety. So he's a dual sport athlete. Mm-hmm. There aren't as many of those now, Tony, as you used to have. Tell us a little bit about Ashton from his track perspective.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. He came here for track first, and at the end of his freshman year, then he said, would it be okay if I go to spring ball? We said, sure. And so he came here as a track person, and then as an addendum, did the football, and he was in the scout team, and then he was on the punt and kickoff return, and he's moved things up. I'm not surprised that he has done so well in football, because he is a phenomenal athlete, mm-hmm. a very focused person, kind of quiet, mm-hmm. but done a tremendous job. He did tie his PR, if I'm not mistaken, this past weekend. He was a little bit behind. He was a little banged up. He had a shoulder that he hurt in the last game or two. So we gave him a little bit more time. And so he's just rounding into shape. I think Holloway is far above everybody in the hurdles. But I think any spot between 2 and 8, Ashton could be there with the right circumstances. The one thing we've got to do is that the surface at Texas A&M is – incredibly fast, and last year was so fast he stumbled coming out and almost fell on his face. The fact that he was able to finish was a credit to his athleticism. He ended up getting sixth, and so we're going to go early to make sure that we practice on that Mondo surface. Yeah. And it's very, very fast, very reactive, and we're excited about Ashton, and he will come back to play football, so that'll get double duty with him.
We were waiting all year long. I mean, I remember listening to Mike Pawlowski and Joe Starkey in the booth, and we were all just waiting for him to break a kickoff and go all the way. Yeah. And it came close a couple of times.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that in football, which would translate certainly to the hurdles, he's a straight-ahead guy. He's not a shaker guy that's going to try to juke you out.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get it done this year. Look forward to that.
Well, I would not be surprised if he ends up making it in the pros. As a returner, but also he really has developed. They've developed him to be a very good defensive back. I mean, he can cover a lot of ground, and as you know, football nowadays is speed, and more speed.
He's got it, so we're looking forward to him in the football season, but he's got track first. Talking about going to Texas A&M, you've got your first outdoor meet this week at home, down at Edwards, and then the week after that, you conclude the indoor season with the national championships. You're going to take a couple of folks there. I want you to also talk about you have a really strong shot put duo.
Yeah.
That you have a conference champion this year. You have another guy who finished behind him who's been an All-American throwing the shot. Talk about the strength you've got there.
Well, philosophically, we believe in a balanced program, and we recruit throwers and jumpers and distance people and hurdlers and whatever. And historically, we've had as many Olympians and medal winners in the Olympics in field events as we have in track and field. And I believe in a balanced program. And Coach Sitara has been our throws coach now, and he is very well respected internationally, a great speaker, a clinician, and he has a great knack of developing athletes. McKay Johnson was not that heavily recruited, but he saw something, and his development is a credit to Muhammad's coaching acumen. Obviously, Peter Simon was very good coming out of Hungary, but those were the European implements, which are a little lighter, and those all don't always predict what they're going to do collegiately. Plus, I believe that Mo had to teach him to change from the slide or the glide to the spin, and that takes coaching. And Peter, unfortunately, had a little hand problem here during the indoor season. Didn't quite get it out there, but he did PR indoors. And McKay Johnson, he's a baby Huey. He's going to be a monster. And but we have other good throwers. Malik McMorris, he chose Cal because he wanted to do track and football, and he's turned out to be very good in football. And he's one of the few people that has thrown the shot and the discus at the national level, and he's a very versatile athlete. And we've also got some very good women's throwers. Cameron Rogers, I believe, was a medalist in the Pan American Juniors. She broke the school record for freshmen in the weight throw. She's more of a hammer thrower than a weight thrower, which they have to learn to do in college. And she has a great future ahead of us. And we're really excited about what's happening to the throws. And I take a lot of pleasure in having that part of our program continue to excel.
Go back to the both Ashton Davis and Malik McMorris. When either you're recruiting an athlete or football's recruiting an athlete that is interested in possibly doing both sports, how much communication between the two sports, the head coaches or the assistants, takes place to try to give the student athlete the best possible experience? Because we saw it with Khalfani Muhammad.
Right.
I mean, he was the athlete of the year two consecutive years. You got to go back to the early 1900s for that to happen in the state of California. Tell us about the cooperation between the two sports.
Well, I think that one hand helps wash the other, so to speak. There are football players that their primary interest is football. They do run track, and they always want us to give them the option if they want to run a track, and we've done that. Javid Best was a football player. We helped recruit him to a certain extent. Now, he was never healthy enough to run track and field, but we certainly do that. But then we have other people who in their mind, they're track first and football second, like an Ashton. Malik McMorris was a phenomenal running back at Mater Dei High School, but no one was interested in him. But we were interested in him as a thrower, and he had a lot of interest. I know he was recruited by all of the military academies to play football, but they did not want him doing track. And he said, "Well, I'm going to do track, and if I can play football," that was the game. The game breaker for us was he could do both. And I think that recently the football has changed dramatically. It's no longer a cloud of dust in 4 yards. It's both horizontal and vertical, and speed is the nature of the game. And I think that you're going to find more and more people recruit speed, and the people that do both. Demetrius Robertson, a four-star recruit, he verbaled to go to Alabama. And thank heavens for Mr. Saban. He said, "You cannot run track." And Demetrius said, "Well, I want to run track." Because as these kids growing up, in many cases, they do age group track and field before they even play football.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a love for track. And he did come for a visit. He said, "Can I run track?" And at that time, they said, "You can run track." And he did run track for us last year. Unfortunately, he had that injury there, in the hip area that's going to take a little while to heal up. But he wants to run track. They love track. And I think that that there's no better way to develop speed than to do it in track and field. And certainly you can do it in practice. But when you have a watch and you're competing against other people, speed is taken to another level.
Talk about Malik McMorris. He scored the clinching points, I believe, for Mater Dei winning a state championship.
Absolutely.
So he was really good in the shot, the discus, in addition to obviously being a really good football player and a great kid, too. I mean, he's one of our favorite kids of all times. You talked about the well-roundedness of your program, staying on the men's side just briefly here. So you got a champion in an event on the track. So that's Ashton Davis. You got one in the throws.
Right.
And then you also had a pretty good triple jumper, too.
Right.
Anytime in college, 50 feet is really good.
Absolutely.
But this guy's a 53-footer.
Right. Well, he was he's a transfer from Finland.
Yeah.
And
I thought the Finns were only good in, like, on skis
javelin.
And stuff, and the javelin.
And the javelin. Yeah. Well, we ended up happening. We were fortunate that we did have a Finnish girl on our team. Ilsa, and she was our hammer thrower in a very good NCAA qualifier in the hammer, and they were in the same club.
Yeah.
And Tuomas is an outstanding student, and he looked at a lot of schools. He wanted to come to Cal, and obviously the question is, can I have my major, which is nutrition science, and also be an Olympic type level athlete? And she gave us nothing but glowing remarks. And we basically recruited him without ever having – he's one of the few people that we've signed without doing an official or unofficial visit. But he has thrived here academically. And Coach Newman, our jumps coach, has done a great job of fine-tuning him
And, you know, we're crossing our fingers with all of them. Anything can happen at NCAAs. The triple jump this year is somewhat open. There is no Christian Taylor or anybody like that. Who knows? Tua Moss could win it. Then again, he could not get out of the preliminary rounds. But you know, that's the fun part about nationals is the goal is to get to the big show, and then you roll the dice, and you never know what's going to end up happening. And I'm very, very proud that we've got the largest number of individuals that are going to NCAAs, and we have representatives on both genders, men and women. Many programs are one-dimensional in terms of their emphasis in their events, and many programs are gender biased. They're stronger on the men and not the women, or vice versa. And since my initial part of my first 15, 20 years of coach, I coached women.
Yeah.
And then I added men when we merged the program in 92. I've always felt that both men and women should have equal opportunity and with our staff and the development that we have. So I'm very, very proud that we've got representatives on both sides.
All right, let's talk about the women. You had a pole vault champion. It's been a pretty strong event here at Cal over the years.
Yeah.
She had a champion in the conference there. And obviously, you've had a pretty good distance core in the women's for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Bethany kind of leading the way, but you got a nice balance there. Talk about them.
Well, let's talk about Lauren Martinez. I call her my cousin because she is from Albuquerque.
Okay.
And has roots back there, which I'm from. Anybody who has family in New Mexico, somewhere back there, we're related.
Okay.
But she was an unbelievable athlete. She was a gymnast. And when she went to high school, her high school coach ran for me here at Cal.
Oh, my goodness.
When she ran for me, it was back in the early 80s, Kathy Tasinski. She was from Alameda and a military brat. But she said, hey, I got a very good athlete, and she wants to come to Cal. And, you know, one thing led to another. But she was a great athlete in New Mexico. She was the Gatorade Athlete of the Year. Mm. She had a long jump, a triple jump, ran both hurdles, pole vault. Who knows? She may have even sold popcorn at a track meet. I don't know. But she was a great athlete and an outstanding student. Her father is a former military pilot and a Princeton grad. And so, you know, it took a little recruiting to get her to come here. But we do have a great pole vault coach and Chris Smith. And those two, the magic has come together. And she was very, very consistent last year in all of her meets last year. So I just knew that sooner or later it was going to come through. And she won the conference championship in a place that is it's a home court advantage for the Washington people. Mm-hmm. And she beat all the Washington people and the top BYU person. And so for her to break the school record, and she broke Allison Stocky's indoor school record, and she jumped higher than I forgot her name now. Who's our pole vault outdoor? Katie Morgan was NCAA champion. And so we're very, very fortunate that she's a junior and has another year, and I just see nothing but
you can try to turn her into a heptathlete?
I don't think so. I think the pole vault requires, you know, total commitment. I mean, you think about it, those pole vault competitions last 6 hours.
Yeah, they do.
You got to go through all those rounds. And so, but, you know, the specialization that's necessary for that at the level that they're vaulting right now, it just takes total commitment toward the vault.
And then talk about your distance core, middle distance and distance core.
Well, the distances, you know, in the last couple of years, I've turned that over to Shayla Houlihan, and you interviewed her in the fall. She's been instrumental. She's done a great job with both men and women. We've got a three-year running of qualifying our men's and our men's 2 years with the men, and now with the women. And I focus more on the middle distances. But you know, I move from event to event, just kind of helping people out. Unfortunately, our top middle distance person has been hurt this year. Eugene Hamilton had a nagging knee injury, started in December, and hasn't been able to run yet. But Beth Ann was a national record holder at one particular time. And the person who broke her national record indoor is the girl that's on our team, Bree Oakley. Yeah. And those two have a nice synergy training together, and it's a lot of fun. They have a good working relationship. Beth Ann, like many high school superstars, struggled a little bit in the early years. Many of them never return. They're broken and they're discarded. And you know, to her credit, and Coach Houlihan and the medical staff here, we put her back together again, and in the weight room, and she's gotten stronger and faster. She's PR'd indoors in both her 3,000 and 5,000, and I see nothing but great things ahead for her. We are going to redshirt her outdoors because she is going to get her she'll have a cross-country season next year, and we want her to be able to have cross-country, indoor, and outdoor during her fifth year. She was going to be here academically anyway, and so well, I'm paying for all that. We might as well get some points out of her. And, you know, as you know, in the distances, the more maturity that you have, the better you can be. And the last thing that I would like to have seen her is to have a great season and say, God, if I only had one more year, what could I have done? And if you look historically at all of our men's and women's middle and long distance people, their greatest year is during their fifth year. Mm-hmm. And it just takes time for the training and the maturity to kind of come together. And I see nothing but great things ahead for Beth Ann. And she's got her little minion there that's going to follow in her in her wake. And Bree Oakley is a rising star, and you know, is going to really help us down the way as well.
Looking at your outdoor schedule, Tony, pretty favorable, and that for the most part you're going to stay locally, whether it's here for, you know, you got always have the dual meet with Stanford, either home or away. You got the Brutus Hamilton's always here. You got the Pac-12s are at Stanford.
Yes,
regionals are at Sacramento.
Yeah.
And then the only other trip really that you make as a team would be for the NCAA Nationals up in Eugene. So the fact that you don't have to travel a lot probably helps.
We do have one outdoor meet. There's a meet that we've been going to for the last 3 years. It's the Pac-10.
Yeah, the Pac-10 Big Ten. That's a nice little rivalry.
That is a one heck of a meet. Now, for some reason, and it may be because of the coaching change, UCLA has decided not to go this year. But that's been replaced by LSU.
Oh, geez, that's too bad.
Yeah, LSU, you know, to be part of the Pac-12, I don't know if that's heresy or not, but Dennis Shaver always has some unbelievable sprinters, jumpers, and hurdlers. And I think with all the other schools that are there, the Colorado, Penn State, whatever, it's a heck of a meet. It's, you know, in March, and so it's a good chance for us. We get many of our regional qualifier marks out of the way then, and it's a night meet. It's a Friday, Saturday night meet. You couldn't find any better conditions to compete, and it'd be great, great competition.
Always is. I like, because there is not as many, and you know this, and I know that having spent so much time in Eugene with the dual meet, that's kind of gone in the past. So to get these meets that have multiple teams involved, whether it's a quadrangular or, in this case, interconference meet together,
right,
I think is really entertaining. And, as you mentioned, the competition level is such that more often than not, your people are going to get some of their best marks of the year because the competition is so good. Even though it's relatively early, then you can peek a little for that, taper them down a little bit, and then go for the Pac-12 and the regionals and the NCAAs.
Well, I think that Big Ten Pac-12 meet, you're talking 8 quality teams. Every event is going to have some of the very best athletes in the country. And whether you get the mark or not, at least you get to see the competition that you're going to compete against somewhere down the road and under great conditions. And you know, the Pac-12 has won that. In fact, I've got that trophy there sitting on my desk. That's the one we won a couple of years ago. And so they do a great job, you know, with that meet.
Basketball does it a little bit. They have these matchups between conferences mid-season as well. I like it. I'd like to see the Pac-12 get more involved in something like that. Hey, Tony, appreciate you taking the time. Always good to talk to you.
It's been fun talking to you.
And good luck in the outdoor opener this week. And then, of course, at the Nationals the following week and down the road.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
All righty, we will. Tony Sandoval, Director of Track and Field here at Cal. That wraps it up for this week's Bear in Mind. Appreciate our guests being with us. We've got a couple more shows coming your way. I think we're going to have Terry McKeever next week, talk a little preview of the NCAA Women's Swimming and Diving Championships, and then we'll get into a little football as well with Justin Wilcox and some of the assistant coaches before we wrap things up in the middle of March. Hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for joining us this week on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. And we'll talk to you next week. Go Bears!
Go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.